Just sit back and relax. You'll be royally entertained, for it's time for Hollywood's Open House. Hello, everyone. This is Jim Amici inviting you once again to 30 minutes of pleasure and entertainment at Hollywood's Open House. Swell entertainment by great entertainers. Listen to the music of Ray Block and his orchestra. Our array of guest stars with songs by Monica Lewis. Comedy by Johnny Morgan. And our special guest from Hollywood, that great screen star, Roland Young. Jim Amici, your host at Hollywood's Open House, inviting you to join us for 30 minutes of diversified entertainment. We're going to have a poignant dramatic sketch starring our Hollywood guest, Roland Young, the songs of our guest star vocalist, lovely Monica Lewis, who's visiting us once again, the music of our own Ray Block, and in the comedy department, we have the star radio comedian, Johnny Morgan. Right now, Ray Block starts the festivities with his own arrangement of Oh, Susanna. Welcome on his first visit to Hollywood's Open House, a gentleman well known for the storm of mirth and merriment he creates wherever he goes. You've heard him on the Coast to Coast program known as the Johnny Morgan Show, and here he is, Johnny Morgan himself.
Thank you, and hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lot of fun being here at Hollywood's Open House, although I feel a little tired. I took my girl out last night for Chinese food. Boy, it was hot in the back of that laundry. After we ate, I took her for a ride in my car. We stepped on the gas from 7 to 11, then we gassed on the steps from 11 to 7. Oh, gee, she was beautiful. She wore a gownless evening strap. She looked... Well, it's hard to describe. She looked, well, as they say in French... Woof, 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 woof. Ah, what beautiful upholstery. She wouldn't kiss me until I had my nose lifted. Now I smell the high heaven. But now it's time for some music. I'd like to play a number for you on my tin flute. To play music, one must suffer. You, not me. I played for Deems Taylor. He deems I should become a tailor. Boy, things are tough. I went in a store to get a new suit. The salesman just stood there in his underwear and laughed at me. I finally got a single-breasted job. Didn't cost much either. Just two installments and a change of address. I don't know whether it's wool or cotton, but every time the band plays Dixie, it comes to attention. Oh, it must be cotton. Yesterday, it shrunk up to my knees, and it didn't even rain. It just got cloudy. I went to the doctor today. He told me not to worry. Those little bumps on my arms are muscles. Last week, I took my girl to Coney Island through the Tunnel of Love. You know what the Tunnel of Love is? That's a place in Brooklyn where they have female Dodgers. Well, now I feel that I'm sufficiently warmed up. I would like to play for you a number dedicated to Father's Day entitled, I Want a Girdle Just Like the Girdle That Fooled My Dear Old Dad.
Pleasure, Hollywood's open house welcomes once again that lovely lady of song, Monica Lewis. Monica poses the favorite perennial problem, I don't know why.
I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do. I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why you just do. You never seem to want my romancing. The only time you hold me is when we're dancing. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why, but I do. Hold me is when we're dancing. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why, but I do.
Say, Jim. Oh, Jim Amici.
Yeah, Johnny.
Jim, do you know where I can find a place to stay? I'd like to move.
A place to stay? Well, even if I did know of any, I wouldn't tell you.
Oh, so that's the kind of a friend you are. Why, if I had $1 million, I'd give you half. And if I had a library full of rare books, I'd give you half. And if I had two pretty redheads...
Yes?
How would you like some more books?
But, Johnny, I thought you had a nice apartment.
Oh, Jim, the walls in my living room are so thin... Last night I was leaning against the wall, and the lady next door was driving a nail through, and she got me.
She got you? Where?
Oh, you know women. Always backseat drivers.
Well, is that all that's wrong with the apartment?
Well, it's laid out all wrong. Last night, just as I got into bed, I remembered the light was still on in the pantry. So I got up, put on my bathrobe, went from the bedroom, through the living room, through the dining room, through the bathroom, through the kitchen, into the pantry, reached up and pulled out the light. Then I had to go back from the pantry, through the kitchen, through the bathroom, through the dining room, into the bedroom. Then I remembered the window was still open. So I stumbled back from the bedroom, through the living room, through the dining room, through the kitchen, into the pantry, reached up, pulled the string, and guess what?
What?
I was under the shower. Well, so long, Jim. So long, everybody.
So long, Johnny. From the ranks of the great stars of the silver screen, we welcome our Hollywood guest, Roland Young. And from the ranks of the great literary masterpieces, we've asked Mr. Young to bring us a special radio adaptation of Guy de Maupassant's short story, A Piece of String. So, in just a moment, we'll return to Hollywood's open house and to Roland Young starring in A Piece of String. And now, Roland Young, starring in A Piece of String.
Have you ever told the truth and found there was no one who believed you? Have you ever known that audible, that dreadful sensation of hopelessness and futility that comes with the slow realization that there is no way in the world to force belief? If you've ever known these things, then perhaps you'll believe my story. Oh, you've got to believe me. You must believe it. You're my only hope now. My only hope. As I lie here on my hard bed, from which I know I'll never rise, it all comes back clearly. Started so innocently. Started on a bright, sunny summer day. There was a typical English county fair going on in the little village where I live. Streets were filled with a shouting, jostling crowd. But I didn't take part in that gaiety. I've always kept to myself. Live and let live, I've always said. But does this prove I'm guilty of a falsehood and deceit? As I say, I kept apart. I walked down the street, speaking to no one, my head bent in thought, my eyes fixed on the cobblestone sidewalk. Then it happened. I saw lying in the street a piece of string. I'm a thrifty man. In my little shop, I use string. And so I stepped into the street and picked up the piece of string. Was it a sin for a thrifty man to pick up a piece of string? As I leaned over, I felt that someone in that crowd was watching me. I straightened up quickly, eyed in the piece of string as I did so, and looked into the face of George Mathewson. George didn't like me, and I returned his sentiment. He smiled strangely as he said to me, "So, my friend,
What treasure have you picked up here in the street? Come now, tell me. What was it? I saw you tuck something away in your pocket.
It was nothing.
Nothing? Do you hide nothing in your pocket? Was it something valuable you found? A diamond ring, perhaps?
No. I'll tell you, it was nothing, nothing.
All right. No need to get so excited over nothing.
He laughed and went away. Then I went to the inn to have my lunch. As I finished my cheese and tea, I was astonished to hear my name called out in the midst of that crowd and then to see a man in a police uniform make his way towards me. Came up to me and said gruffly,
"Are you Gregory Williams?"
"Yes. Yes, it's my name, yes."
"Come along with me."
"To go with you where?"
"To the police station. Where do you think?"
But why?"
"Stop the questions. The inspector wants to see you. Are you coming along quietly?"
"Yes, yes, of course, but I don't see why. What have I done? I've done nothing."
"In there. Get going, will you? The inspector's waiting."
"Yes, I'm going." You sent for me?"
"Mr. Williams. Sit down."
Thank you.
"Williams, you picked up a black leather wallet in the street this morning, didn't you?"
"Me? A leather wallet?"
"That's right."
"No, I didn't even see a wallet."
"Now, Mr. Williams, please tell me the truth. You picked up a leather wallet which had been lost. There's a large sum of money in it."
"Oh, it must be some mistake."
"There's no mistake. Someone saw you pick it up and put it in your pocket."
"Who says they saw me do such a thing?"
"George Matheson."
"George Matheson. Oh, no. Matheson saw me pick up something from the street, that's true. But it wasn't a wallet. It was a piece of string. That's all it was, a piece of string. I saw it in the street, I'll pick it up. You know, I have it in my pocket now. Here it is, see? Only a piece of string."
"Now, Mr. Williams, you don't really expect me to believe that Mr. Matheson mistook a piece of string for a wallet."
"It's the truth. It's the truth. Matheson lies. He saw nothing. I picked up the string and I hid it from him. Oh, you must believe me. Please, please believe me. It was a piece of string. Oh, only a little piece of string." "Police searched me. They found nothing and they had to let me go. But I could tell they still suspected me. They thought I'd merely hidden the wallet. They didn't believe it was a piece of string. They didn't believe me. First I thought it was just a stupid mistake and all I'd have to do was to tell my story and everything would be all right. Slowly I realized there was more to it than that. Truth isn't always believed merely because it is the truth. I left the police station. My head was in a whirl. What could I do? How could I make them believe me? Outside, a crowd was gathered. The news had spread. I had new hope. These new people knew me. They believed me. I turned and spoke to them. My friends, a terrible mistake has been made. I'm the victim of a misunderstanding. I didn't pick up the wallet."
"And what was it, Matheson, saw you pick up?"
"It was... it was just this little piece of string."
"A piece of string," he said.
"Imagine picking up a piece of string."
"A piece of string. A piece of string indeed."
How was it possible? They didn't believe me either. I became desperate. I walked the streets of the village telling my story to everyone. I had to find someone who believed me. I had to find someone. Over and over and over, I told them. It was a piece of string. It was in the street."
"You clever old rascal. Just keep the wallet. Say nothing more about it."
No.
"Tell me, just between the two of us, how much was in the wallet?"
"Only a piece of string. Only string."
"Come now, old fellow. Confess it was the wallet. No one blames you for keeping it."
No, it was a piece of string. A piece of string. with no one. No one who believed me. I stumbled home, but there was no sleep for me that night. I'm not a young man. My health has been failing for a while now. Next day I lay ill, alone as I am now. But I heard the news. The wallet had been returned. Now they would believe me. Now they would know I wasn't a thief and a liar. I dragged myself from the bed. I walked about the streets. I was full of joy. I spoke to everyone again. I stopped strangers telling my story and how happy it had all turned out. But as the days passed, as time went on, I sensed something in the way people smiled at me when I told the story. I felt remarks were being made behind my back. I tried to ignore this sensation. I even went up boldly to George Matheson and said to him, "You see, George, your little plot against me didn't come off. The wallet was returned, and that proves I didn't find it."
"You old sharper, that's an old trick."
"Trick? What sort of trick?"
"To have stolen property returned by someone else after you know you're found out. Everyone knows that's what you did. Everyone knows that. That clever old scoundrel."
I was dumbfounded. They still thought I'd found the wallet. They still thought me a thief and a liar and a clever scoundrel, too. I tried to protest, but my protestations themselves were taken only as a proof of a guilty conscience. Never left my house again after that. Couldn't face anyone after that. Oh, what horror there is in the disbelief of one's fellow man. Oh, what futility there is in hurling oneself against that indestructible wall of disbelief and lack of faith. I've given it all up. My mind's no longer clear, except when I remember this dreadful misfortune that's befallen me. My heart no longer cares if I live or die. And I pray death may come soon to end this torture. Broken in body and spirit. All because of a little piece of string. You believe me, don't you? You believe it was a piece of string? That's all it was. I swear to you, it was a piece of string. I have it here to prove it. It's just a piece of string. Piece of string. A piece of string!
Take a childhood musical favorite, add a dash of swing here and a pinch of sweet there. Mix thoroughly with musical know-how and you've got Rave-like special arrangement of Chopsticks. Thank you. My sincere thanks for visiting with us, Johnny Morgan. My thanks also to Monica Lewis for her return visit. And to Roland Young, our sincere congratulations for a superb performance. And we hope you'll return to Hollywood's open house again soon. And so, once again, this visit to Hollywood's open house comes to an end. Our music is under the direction of Ray Block. Our script is by Lee Shane. The program is produced under the direction of Ray Green. This is Jim Amici inviting you to Hollywood's open house next week at this same time.